Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, Annie, today is a very special day.
Why? Why is it a special day?
It's our birthday!
It's episode 10, it's our birthday!
Yeah, These Four Walls is 10,
okay.
Kind of.
I actually have a cake.
Here you
go. Yeah, hold on.
Okay, what, should I just burn out that candle?
Yeah, well, I didn't get 10 candles. Yay! Happy birthday to us, episode 10. So, coming up on this episode, I think you've been away.
Yeah, I've escaped England and I went to Gothenburg to Way Out West Festival.
Oh, what was it like?
It was so fun. I saw Sia, saw Skepta, Stormzy. It was really nice.
Dream.
Rained quite a lot. But we did our Vox Pops from Way Out West Festival. So that bit when we talk about love. It's
our
with a load of festival goers.
What did you ask people then this episode?
This time I was asking people the best thing about being single.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay,
yeah,
interested to hear.
Coming up.
And because you were away, I also got Lottie, who works for ASOS Likes, to go and speak to Dave Franco.
Yeah, she played our little game, didn't she?
She did. I'm not quite sure she really got to grips with the game, but we'll see how that went.
Yeah, we'll get her in for a debrief. And then the lovely Georgia Murray's back. This time she's talking to Amanda from Boiler Room and our very own Nat. The stylist.
Who's a stylist at ASOS.
Yeah, who's been on this podcast before. And they've both set up things in relation to Black Lives Matter. So they're going to be talking about their projects.
Okay, really interested to hear about those projects. And also this episode, I am not going to the Fashion Cupboard this week.
We've really escaped.
I know. But guess where? I'm going somewhere really exciting.
Where are you going?
I'm actually so excited about it. I'm going to ASOS Debbie's house.
Oh, it's happening. I'm so jealous.
I'm going to her house and I'm going to look through her wardrobe and basically just be jealous of all of her clothes.
Do you think her wardrobe is like a whole other house?
Yeah, it's going to be like going to Narnia and I basically just want to see how many pairs of shoes she's got.
Okay, if you want a visual accompaniment to that section, check out ASOS_Debbie on Instagram because we've never seen her wear the same outfit twice.
Chan, I'm really sorry, but I've got to go. I'm too excited. I'm going to Debbie's house.
All right, off you go.
Bye. Okay, so I'm nearly at Debbie's house. I'm just going to go up to her door. I hope she's in.
Hi, Annie.
Deb, I'm so excited.
Welcome to my home.
Let me in. I can't wait to see your wardrobe. Debbie, I am in your room and looking at your wardrobe.
Welcome, Annie.
I feel like this is a momentous occasion. Okay, it's amazing. So we have to remember that people can't see what I'm looking at, which I feel very sad about. But let's describe it to them. How is your wardrobe organized?
Organized? It's just a mess, Annie, as you can see.
It's not a mess.
Okay, for one, it's not color-coded. It's just sporadic in that sense. But I like organize it according to item. So we start with shorts to skirts to dresses to sleeveless blazers. And a few coats to tops, trousers, jumpsuits, blazers, and war jackets.
So, okay, so that is a lot of clothes, but it doesn't look messy. You've got it all sort of visual merchandise, which is amazing. And it's on an open, so it's not a wardrobe,
no,
basically, I should
just
also
like
add.
Some good old Habitat rails. So yeah, you can see everything.
So that's a good thing. Is that how you work? Like when you're getting dressed, everything has to be...
It's very visual, Annie.
Okay, right. Let's pick out a couple of things. I don't even know where to start, but what are you loving at the moment? What pieces?
What am I loving at the moment? Okay, we have to talk about this jacket.
Okay, right. So this jacket that we're looking at is, I don't even know where to begin to describe it. It's multicolored and it's sort of plastic. Teb, what would you call this?
They're like, they're kind of like sequin material, but they're like little, like, they're long. It's like a big bird, but sequin big bird.
Everybody, I don't know what kind
sequin
of
feathers.
Thing is in people's imaginations, but it's kind of like sequin feathers and it's sort of blue, yellow,
it's
white,
multicolored.
Orange, and it's cropped.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What would you wear this kind of thing with?
Okay, this obviously, it does all the speaking and it makes noise too.
It does. It makes a really good noise.
Yeah. So I would pair this with something plain at the bottom. So like slim trousers. You could wear it with jeans. I go for a skirt, definitely one colour. And of course, some heels.
Of course, heels. We're going to get to the heels in a minute. I think anything you wear this with will just look amazing because this is sort of a statement piece.
Yeah,
if you're going to pick a statement piece.
It is.
Okay, what else are you loving?
This skirt. It's like an old ASOS skirt, but it does the job. It's pink, it's midi, and it's got like this peplum detail at the bottom. ASOS actually have a black one on site now, which I'm gonna get, but this is, it's bright pink, so you're definitely seen. I'm never lost in
Deb,
this.
I feel like any of your clothes that you are definitely seen in, if you're gonna, what would you wear this sort of pink skirt with them?
Okay, I like actually wearing this with like a men's shirt, a plain white shirt, a bit oversized, and of course some heels.
So menswear,
yeah.
I can see that there's quite a lot of menswear in your wardrobe.
Is
that, if I was to ask you, like, what are you obsessed with right now?
Reclaimed vintage, men's reclaimed vintage, excuse me.
So
I just like the fit of everything, oversized and big.
Reclaimed vintage is on ASOS.
It is
so
on ASOS.
What is that? Explain to people what reclaimed vintage is.
Basically, it's they reuse materials and fabrics.
So it's like vintage inspired.
It's vintage inspired. So they remake them as well, the items as well.
And they do it in womenswear and
menswear. And menswear. And so it's customised as well. Some pieces are.
There's quite a lot of camo in here.
I love camo and army.
And can we also add that everything in Deb's wardrobe is in plastic?
Yes, because...
because she takes care of her clothes.
That's because it's an open well, as you can see, to avoid dust. And also, everything gets dry cleaned, Annie. Me and my dry cleaner, we're like best friends.
Your best friends with
yeah.
your dry cleaner. And what else? I can also see this amazing sort of black. Describe this to me.
Oh my gosh. This is, it's basically an off-the-shoulder satin blazer. And it comes with matching trousers. We actually shot it in the latest mag.
So this is on ASOS.
It is on ASOS.
It's super smart.
It's super smart.
But I feel like you could wear it as a suit, sort of yep. off the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could also, this jacket is kind of an update on a classic, I think.
It is definitely an update on a classic. And I like to also wear it with jeans and a black lip, which tones it down a little bit. But you know, it's off the shoulder, so it just makes it look a bit glam.
Amazing. Right, Deb. Okay, what else? What else are you obsessed with? I can see loads of heels.
Heels, Annie, obviously.
And heels, I feel like you don't shy away from a heel. It needs to have colour on it. It needs to say something.
It has to do something. It has to be loud. Like, as you can see, I like them high. I like them. Or I like them really platformy, as you can see.
So Deb's heels are all quite high up on the rails.
Yeah.
And they're all sort of facing outward. It looks a little bit like a shop, I just
this
have to
add. This
is
just like a fraction of them. The rest are underneath the bed, Annie.
And a little bit more about how it's organised, so
okay.
people can sort of visualise.
So as I said before, I've got the clothes are hung and they range from skirts to trousers. Above that, we have a few of my heels. These are the ones I go to and wear often. Then behind that, we have shirts, as you can see, colourful, striped. Bright, and we have this section is my headscarf section.
So if you're getting up in the morning and you're looking at this,
yeah,
how do you approach getting dressed?
I pray for direction. I never plan, it's always on the day. So I always start with a shoe. What shoe do I want to wear? And then I work my way up, and usually it's either going to be a skirt or it's going to be jeans.
Okay, and then
sometimes
you,
a dress.
And then you base the outfit around that.
Base outfit like that. I tend to build up, like today, layer up, or just pair odd things together. So things that people wouldn't usually wear.
Kind just of like what? Give me an example.
So
let's
this,
make an outfit right now. Let's pretend you're just waking up and let's make an outfit.
Okay, let's take this men's reclaimed vintage pink camo jacket.
Okay, it's quite long line. It's quite sort of military inspired, but it's pink camo.
And it's oversized.
Okay, we're wearing this. What are we wearing this with?
So I would definitely tuck in the collar so it looks less masculine and make it into sort of like a V-neck shape at the front.
I'd never think of doing that. Yep. So you can actually then, because you customize a lot of stuff,
yeah,
but
sometimes.
You don't just have to do it by like cutting things or sewing things.
Safety pins are your best friends, people.
Okay, so we'd wear this and we'd tuck the collar in and sort of change the neckline.
Change the neckline. So that gives it more like a V-neck detail. Then I'll go for some denim. Probably my vintage Levi's, and they're frayed at the bottom.
Okay.
And again, I'll go for a heel, and it's pink on top. I don't have to put a pink heel on. I could do if I wanted to. I might do a red heel. I might do a red heel with a green sock, or I might do a multicolored heel.
So is it about, so you quite like to put different colors that you might not expect together?
I like clashing, as some people like to put it, but yeah.
I'm slightly overwhelmed, but I'm also very inspired.
Oh, good.
I feel like we could talk for hours and hours.
I need to get you in one of these outfits, Annie.
I feel like you should style me.
Let's
do it. Maybe that's another
episode. You have to wear heels, though.
Okay, I will wear heels. I promise you I will wear heels.
Cool. Oh, Annie, one more thing. My bags.
Oh, your bags. Let's talk about your bags.
I love a good clutch bag, a novelty clutch bag.
Okay, so let's look at this. This one, I have to say, this is sort of a novelty clutch bag that's light pink and it has the words bossy in multicolored lettering.
Okay, it totally doesn't represent who I am as a person, but I just like that it speaks before you see me. It's a good conversation starter.
I feel like a lot of your, it's just so fun. What's in your, it's very
fun. I like
fun.
Annie. I'm fun when it comes to dressing.
So as well as your wardrobe just being very fun, I feel like there's a really good mix of things in here. So from vintage to ASOS, do you want to just talk me through that?
Yeah, that's basically it. Vintage and ASOS and designer stuff as well. A lot of stuff that you can get off ASOS. So as I mentioned before, we claim vintage, have ASOS mainline, have a lot of vintage via ASOS Marketplace and charity shops.
What's your favourite vintage piece that you've got in here?
Favourite, Annie? Debbie doesn't do favourites.
Okay, you don't. Oh, you can't have favourite items of clothing. I feel like one of the great things about how Debbie wears an outfit is that I would just pick up a top and I see that top as that's the shape it should be. But you don't only just customize things, but you also kind of change the shape of things.
You have to like think, what else can I do with this when I look at a top or a shirt or a jumper?
Do you also make things cropped when they're meant to be long?
Oh my gosh, scissors again are like also your best friends. I like cutting off the bottom of sweaters or of jumpers as well. Just make them, cropped.
Is there the top in here where I feel like you came to work one day and everybody was saying how great your top was and you said, I just made that top this morning?
It was, Annie. Yeah, there's one.
It's right in the back.
So there is, Annie. It's right here. I walked to the ASOS summer party, actually.
Describe this top to me and how you just made it in the morning before work.
Okay, it's made out of an African-inspired printed fabric, which I got from Dawson Market, and it's off the shoulder. And it has these long sleeves which are a bit ballooned at the end. And I just wore this with jeans.
And you just made it before
work? I made
work.
It before work. I was late that day. But it was for good reason, right?
And what did you wear it with?
I wore it with straight leg jeans and these red Public Desire heels.
So they're sort of strappy. Bright red. It's another great outfit.
Thank you, Annie.
Well, Deb, I feel like I've got so many tips and I'm very inspired, especially to wear more colour.
And be fun.
And be fun. Yep. And wear heels.
And wear heels.
Deb, thank you so much for letting me come to your house.
Thank you for
coming.
Wardrobe. Come back.
We will. We'll be back for another episode.
Yay, part two.
Thank you.
Bye, Annie.
Bye.
I'm so jealous. That sounded so fun.
I know. I've literally got to see it into Debbie's wardrobe.
Is it the best thing ever?
It's dreamy. I just, her clothes are amazing. I'm actually in love with them.
Speaking of love. Okay, that means it's the part of the show where we talk about love, relationships, dating, that kind of thing. Although this episode is a bit different because we're talking about being single. So I was at Way Out West Festival in Gothenburg and I asked everyone what the best thing is about being single.
The best thing about being single is like, I could just go over there and I could just move to her, I can chat up her, flirt with her, and it'll be all cool. I won't feel no sort of way about it, and it'll be all cool. We'll feel like each other's energies, it'll be sick. That's the best thing about being single.
I love being single.
The best thing about being single is you can be drunk every day of the week without anyone telling you it's not okay.
The best thing about being single is the independence and not having to worry about any anything or anyone dictating what you do and what you think and who you see in your time?
Just having a great time, like not having anyone to report to and just, you know, living life as it is.
The best thing about being single is that I can flirt with all the girls that I like to flirt with. Seriously, it is fantastic. I love it.
The best thing about being single is you can do whatever you want. You can hang out with whoever you want. You can try out fun things that you wouldn't normally do if you were in a relationship. Yeah.
So is everybody single at Way Out West?
Do you know what? I think they might have been.
Or
everyone I spoke to.
Did you just go and hunt out the single people?
Yeah, I was like, you look single. Come and answer my question. Or maybe they were in relationships but just remembered.
All the good times, the nostalgic times of being single.
All right, what have we got coming up next?
Well, do you think Dave Franco's single?
I'm not sure.
I wonder if Lottie found out because I think she went to speak to him.
Do you think she went and did a little flirt?
Lottie doing a flirt. Maybe.
Okay, let's hear how she got on.
Hi guys, I'm here with Dave Franco. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm good, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. So we're here today obviously because of your new film, Nerve.
Yes.
Which I saw the other day. And I will say that I watched most of it from behind my fingers.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. There were parts where I was just like, I cannot watch.
It's funny. It's like, we knew that the movie was obviously a thriller, but I didn't quite realize that it was going to have that kind of effect on people until I was at the premiere and I was looking around and half the audience is leaning forward with their face in their hands. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It was just like me in a screening room. It was like me and a few other people, and we were all just like, oh, my God.
So what did you think of, like, the third of the movie that you saw?
I mean, from what I saw, it was pretty great.
Okay, good.
No, I loved it. I'm a big fan of thrillers, so.
I'm glad.
Know, I enjoyed it very much. How was it working with Emma?
Emma's great. Emma and I,
like, hit it off,
really. Yeah, we've known each other for about 5 years now. We did a music video together a long time ago, and it was really important that we got along and felt comfortable with each other, because the whole movie hinges on whether or not you believe our chemistry. And so Emma, she's just really smart and has great taste, and I valued her opinion throughout, where there were scenes where I would take her aside and I would be like, hey, is what I'm doing really cheesy right now? And she'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, okay. Yeah, totally. But it's like, you don't always have that kind of rapport with other actors because you don't feel comfortable asking them those types of things. And so ultimately, she gave me a lot of confidence.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what about the motorbike? Can you ride a motorbike?
I learned how to ride a motorcycle for this movie. They gave me about 2 weeks to learn how to do so, which is not very much time. And
have you got a bike now?
No, I'll probably never get on a bike again.
I mean, it looks pretty terrifying.
It is. And in hindsight, thank God nothing happened. But like, there's scenes in there where I'm really driving the bike and Emma's really on the back. And if I make a mistake, I'm taking us both down.
Yeah.
And so I was just sweating through those scenes. But again, luckily nothing happened. Yeah. But the main reason I wanted to learn how to ride the bike is just so it would look realistic.
It was
in the
film. And yeah. It did. Yeah, nice job. Okay, so today we're actually going to be playing a game.
Okay.
Play a little game. It basically involves me telling you three lies about myself. Well, actually, no, wait, correction. It basically involves me telling three stories about myself.
Okay.
One of them's true.
Right.
Two of them are lies.
All right.
And then you're going to do the same.
Okay. Okay. All right, you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. Okay, you've got a little bit of time to think.
You go first.
Okay.
So one of these stories is true.
One of them has to be true.
Okay.
And the other two can be as made up as you like.
Okay.
I'm sure your stories are going to be a lot more interesting than mine.
No, now you're putting even more pressure on me.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so first up. I went on a national dating TV show called Take Me Out in the UK. And I got picked by a guy to go on a date.
Uh-huh.
And we got flown away to a place called Fernando's. We went diving and went for dinner and it was all caught on camera and then shown on national TV.
Did you go on a second date?
2 months later. Oh, no.
Okay, continue.
And
all right,
that kind of tells you how
that's story number one. I think that one is false.
Okay. Second one, I look after a dog called Pepe for my friend a couple of times a week. Take him for a walk around my local park. I had a bit of an incident where we were walking down the street and he kind of darted into the road and got hit by a car.
Okay.
And I had to take him to the doggy hospital and tell his owner, Carla, about it. And it was pretty awful. He survived, though. He's alive, so it's all good. I still look after him.
I think this is false.
Okay.
Okay.
Which means the last one.
It's got to be true.
It's got to be true. So I was actually here. We're here at the Soho Hotel.
Yeah.
And I was here a few weeks ago with a friend who's a producer from LA.
Okay.
And we were sat at the bar. We got there about 2 o'clock. A couple of whiskeys, one thing led to another, 20 whiskeys down maybe, between us, obviously, not each. Left at about 1 o'clock in the morning, pretty steep bar tab, but they ended up giving us some free food. Yeah, it was nice. So, that's my other story.
In hindsight, I think the first story is true and the other two are false.
The first one's true?
Yeah.
What do we say? I mean, I reckon. Good. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm a terrible liar. I'm a terrible, terrible liar. Yeah. Well, there we go. That's good to know.
So you did go on this dating show.
I did, yeah.
And you did not go on the second date.
We didn't go on
the the first date was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was all recorded. It was all
a nice guy, but
like if I looked it up, I could find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Please don't do that.
Good to know.
It's a story to tell.
All right. You
know? Here's me telling it to Dave Franco right now.
That's
why you do these things. So it's your turn, Dave.
Mine are not going to be stories just because I haven't had time to think about this. They'll be more just facts.
Okay.
Okay. Let me think. All right. Okay. If I wasn't acting, I would be a physical therapist. That's number one.
Do you want me to say whether or not I think that?
No, wait till I say all three.
Okay.
Number two is that I can solve a Rubik's Cube in under a minute and a half. And number three is that my first ever acting job.
Yeah.
Was on Boy Meets World. Do you know that show?
I do know that show. I love that show. See, this is hard because at the end of the day, you're an actor, right? So, you know,
start
I'm
picking
screwed.
Them off. Give me one that's
so
not
I'm
true.
Gonna say Boy Meets World. I mean, you would have been pretty young. So that's quite plausible. So, wait, what was number two?
Two is Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
And one is physical therapist.
Rubik's Cube. I imagine you'd be pretty good at a Rubik's Cube. But maybe more like 2 minutes, not 1.5. I'm going to say that the Boy Meets World is true.
And the other two are false?
The other two are false.
I'll give you one more guess to guess which one's true.
I mean, it's 50-50, isn't it? I'm going to guess that I want the Rubik's Cube to be true.
Is that your answer, or do you want it to be the answer?
No. Okay, yeah, let's go Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube is true.
Oh, nice. Damn it, I wish I'd bought a Rubik's Cube now. If only I'd known. Okay, well, second time around, I mean.
There you go.
Clearly, you were much better at this than I am, which is why you're an actor. So that's all good. Boy Meets World as well. That would have been great.
That would have been great too.
You would have fit in with, I was thinking like, they were all like, they all basically looked exactly like you.
Is that right?
I'll take
that as a compliment.
Oh my God, you definitely should. I can't remember the name of the lead guy, but.
Right.
He was a heartthrob. So.
The brother are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, at the time I was young, so I
totally
fancied.
You know, my first job ever was actually on Seventh Heaven. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I was not good on that show.
When did you learn to do a Rubik's Cube?
I learned to do a Rubik's Cube when I was in college. One of my good buddies, he knew how to do it, and I made him teach me, and then it's a skill that I will never, ever again use.
You can still do it. Can you still do it now?
Yeah.
I'm going to take your word for that.
Yes.
I will take your word for that. Okay, awesome. Well, yeah, that was great.
Cool. Is that
it? I mean, clearly, I'm terrible liar, and that's really embarrassing, but, you know, I thought that would probably happen. So next on Instagram, that all the cast are saying, Dave, join Instagram.
Right.
Everyone's posting pictures and they're like, Dave, where are you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to sort that out.
I don't know if I'm going to sort that out anytime soon.
Fair enough. Where do people get in touch with you? Where do the fans go and tell you how awesome
I do
your
have
movie
a Facebook page that I use rarely, but that is me, but that's the only real version of me on social media.
So if they want to tell you how awesome the film is,
sure.
Then they go on there.
There you go.
Awesome. Perfect.
Great.
Amazing.
Thanks a lot.
Dave.
Yeah.
Lottie, that was amazing.
Thanks, guys. I mean, Dave was a pretty good sport, wasn't he?
Thanks for stepping in for Shannon while she was on holiday.
Yeah. Oh, any time.
That was quite flirty, no?
You did a little flirt.
He was quite easy to flirt with, I guess.
Can we talk about the game?
Yeah. Lottie, did you really get what our game was?
I mean, clearly you guys didn't explain it to me good enough, did you?
Oh, so it's the briefing. It's the briefing.
I think it was the briefing. Not the briefing. Yeah. I mean, he saw through all your lies.
He did. I mean, it was pretty awkward the moment the penny dropped and I realised I'd done the whole game wrong. You know.
Does that show that Lottie's actually not a very good liar and it's quite good?
Yeah, it's good.
Whereas Shannon, on the other hand, is quite a good liar.
Well, I think I still lost last episode.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Well, thanks for stepping up, Lottie, and coming in.
Anytime, guys.
I can go on holiday again.
Yeah, who are you going to pick next to flirt with?
I think next has got to be James. Next brother.
Oh, I was like...
All right.
Thanks, lot.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We're very popular today.
Hi, guys.
Hi, George and Murray. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
We're very good, thank you.
Yeah, you just missed Lottie.
This week, you are speaking to Nat, who we've had on our episode before, but she's doing a very interesting project around Black Lives Matter, and you're also speaking to another girl called Amanda from Boiler Room.
Exactly right, yeah. So Nat, our amazing stylist, she has just founded a website and a sort of project called Know Your Rights, where she hands out cards to people in various communities to inform them of their rights if they got stopped and searched by police. And then Amanda Maxwell, she's from Boiler Room, and they recently hosted a live panel talk and basically discussed Black Britishness, Black Lives Matter, loads of really important stuff.
It's interesting that they're both UK-based projects, because I think a lot of people associate Black Lives Matter with the US. There's a lot going on at the moment in the UK. Is that because it's the 5-year anniversary of Mark Duggan's death?
Well, both the girls point out that we should be having these conversations all the time, constantly. But I think that this month's so important because of that anniversary.
But do you want to explain a bit to us about how then the movement started in the US then?
It started really as a hashtag on Twitter in the US when 17-year-old black teenager Trayvon Martin was killed, and that was in 2012. It became internationally recognised after further deaths of Michael Brown in Ferguson and Eric Garner in New York in 2014. There were protests all over the US, but mainly in Ferguson that year, and the hashtag sort of became more of a call to arms after that. The activist movement, who's campaigning against violence and systematic racism towards black people, on their website, in their mission statement, they say, "We are broadening the conversation around state violence to include all of the ways in which black people are intentionally left powerless at the hands of the state." But I think what's been really amazing is that the movement's been peacefully protesting, shutting down busy roads, having days of action, hosting teach-ins, panel talks, Twitter chats, and loads more. And everyone from Amanda Stenberg and Rowan Blanchard to Obama and Beyonce have been discussing the issue, which has really opened it up sort of internationally.
Yeah, Lemonade was really powerful, like the video, and she's done a real call to arms, hasn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
And Drake
Beyonce put
Instagram
a call to arms on her website, didn't
yeah
she?
Yeah, so she's got really sort of like vocal about it, which is amazing.
Okay, so that's in the US. As we were saying, there's a lot going on at the moment in the UK. That's been a lot of conversation and loads of events too. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen, there's a documentary out at the moment called The Hard Stop?
I haven't seen it. I really need to.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've read a lot
about
it.
It's amazing. So that follows this guy called Marcus Knox Hook, who is Mark Duggan's best friend, and it's kind of in the aftermath of his shooting.
And like I said, loads of amazing campaigns and events have taken place since, and that's where Amanda and Nat come in, really.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting, and that people are being active, but also in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I think I'm really interested in hearing what Nat and Amanda are doing, and also how maybe you can get involved if you want to get involved in the cause.
Yeah,
exactly. So here they are. So I'm here with Amanda Maxwell from Boiler Room. Hey.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in. You guys hosted a panel talk on Monday, the 15th. Can you tell me a bit about why you guys wanted to host the event in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was really important after we had all heard about the shootings over in the US. And I'd seen a post by Drake, which was saying how outraged she was and shocked and saddened and everything like that. And it kind of really resonated with me that as much as it's happening over in the US, like there's definitely an underlying racism that happens in the UK. And I think it was really important to try and address both the US and the UK. We have audiences in both, and we have a great platform in both countries. Mm-hmm. So I'd originally started by sending an email, and then from there, the rest of the team kind of jumped on board, and we took it from there. And just to really try and work out how we could engage the audience, I think it's really important to, rather than just how we have done before and have roundtables, that we probably looked open a panel discussion, mm-hmm. Just to make it more interactive, try and get people's opinions and feelings properly through there, because I think that's half the problem with all this stuff, is that we just get fed drips and drabs by the media, and we don't really have any say-so in how we're actually feeling about it. It's mm-hmm. just the way that they're reporting about it.
Who was on the panel?
So in the end, we were supposed to have a mixture of artists and cultural heads, and then just due to unforeseen circumstances, we actually had to switch up quite a bit. But luckily for us, we had the support of Black Lives Matter UK. They came down and supported it. We also had Dark as Hell, who was originally on the lineup anyhow, Aisha Akambi. And then we actually had Dean Blunt, who joined us. He came in to listen and see Dark as Hell and see what he had to say. Mm-hmm. So luckily for us, he was able to step in. And then we had Cheyenne Anderson from Radio 1 Extra, who's a good friend of mine, and just really felt that it was important to have another female presence on the panel as well. Mm-hmm. But the really interesting points, I think, that came out of it was that everybody's super passionate. I also noticed that there was a lot of frustration, and I think that's because we're not continuously having these conversations, and if we are, we're not really exposing those conversations, we're not out there with how we're truly feeling. And it's only at the times where it's really in our faces that we then start to like really talk about it and put mm-hmm. it to the forefront. And also I think that it was a call for change. I think there's a massive want to change how everything is handled with society and what we can do to really try and make things better. As to how we go about that, that's the next step that I think we've got to really unify on, just to make a stand.
What is the next step in terms of, for our listeners, how can they either be an ally and show mm. solidarity, or how can you get involved with existing campaigns mm. and Black Lives Matter UK mm. and things like that, sort of what advice would you have people wanting to do that?
For sure. I think it's really important, first and foremost, is to really hone in on yourself and to really understand what it is that really upsets you about this whole situation at the moment. And then I think it's a case of looking at your community. There are definitely lots of community projects that are going on. It's just a case of doing your research a bit more. It's also a case of really knuckling down and understanding who your MPs are and what they're looking to do within your borough or where you stand. So that would be my advice to people wanting to get involved, for sure.
Okay, amazing. And where can we check out what Boiler Room are up to next? Where mm-hmm. are you guys going with this? I know you're hosting a New York mm-hmm. live panel talk, yeah. kind of similar to the one in London.
Yeah. So I think the best way to always find out what's going on with Boiler Room is to sign up to our Facebook page. Also, just regularly check in on our Boiler Room website, which is www.boilerroom.tv. And just watch this space. I mean, at the moment, we're trying to really work out how to go forward. Like I say, it's not a conversation that we just have every 5 years because it's an anniversary. It's not just something because, you know, another person got shot. It's got to be a constant conversation that we have every single day. Every time that it gets brought up, it means that we're kind of exposing what's really going on. For instance, with the Daly and Atkinson tasering that happened this mm-hmm. week, it's not something that's quite out there like the US shootings, and it's definitely something that we need to be, you know, understanding why. So I think it's really understanding the facts and the figures and how you go forward, but definitely watch this space.
So that was Amanda, and everyone check out the New York panel talk that they'll be hosting very soon. And next we're going to hear from Nat, who is discussing her new project, Know Your Rights, which is about educating people about their rights when encountering the police. Hey Nat, you okay?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. So Nat, you're an ASOS stylist, but you and a friend recently have also founded a website and a project called Know Your Rights.
Yeah, so me and my friend Kanisha created a website. We started making cards basically, and the idea behind them is to just inform people about their rights, because it started off as like a personal project on us trying to just educate ourselves on, mm-hmm. you know, basic things that we don't know. So the first set of cards that we've made is Know Your Rights When You're Stopped and Searched on the Street.
Yeah.
So we made them up and we started like 2 weeks ago just handing them out. We started in Brixton, just going out into the community, basically, handing out these cards. The first question that we asked people is, do you know your rights? And it was amazing that nobody knew what their rights are. And the people that did know were the people that had problems with the police and had been stopped and searched, on occasion. So it was really interesting hearing from different people, you know, what they thought about it and also, like, their experiences. It was really interesting to see, like, the rights that people were most surprised about and, like, hearing people's reactions to that.
Which ones were they most surprised at?
There was a lot of people that were surprised that, like, if you're stopped and searched, please, they can ask you to take off your gloves or your hat. A lot of people found that quite surprising. And also the fact that, a police officer can stop you on the street and ask you where you're going, what you're doing, and, like, various questions like that, but you don't actually have to answer. So that doesn't mean that you stay silent or, like, you're rude, but also, like, you don't have to respond to those questions. And I think that was something that people were really surprised at. And, you know, all of the information that we're imparting at the moment is information that's out there. Like, it's on gov.com. Like, we haven't just made it up.
Yeah.
But I think that people don't really know where to look for this information. So the point behind the project is to just educate people. And I read a thing yesterday on educating communities to educate themselves.
Yeah.
You know, having a website where it's really clear, you can go to one single website and get, like, all the information you need, mm-hmm. whether it's through links to other websites or, you know, hearing personal stories from other people.
And the information, like you said, it's out there, but it's not necessarily accessible to the right people. And so it's so amazing what you're doing. You're breaking it down and sort of, like, distributing it. And so why now? Why 2 months ago when you set it up, rather than, say, a year ago? What sort of drove you guys to do that?
I think for the most part, I know for myself and Kenesha, like, we've always had the same sort of spirit when it comes to politics and, if you want to say, like, activism or things like that. But I think it's very difficult in this day and age, or for me personally, or for us personally, it was very difficult for us to find an avenue to
get involved.
To get involved, yeah. Or to, you know, vent our frustrations in ways that wasn't just, like, anger or tears or, you know, whatever. And I think it took a really long time for us to try and decide, like, what we can do. Basically, this was, like, the simplest way for us that we felt that we could play a small part. And I feel like we know that this is, like, such a small pebble in the, like, solving of the problem, or, you know, there's so many other amazing people doing incredible things. In order to, like, create change and to affect change, you need to know what's going on in your communities and in your environments. So that's why it's really important for us to start by just speaking to people. And, you know, I'm not from Brixton originally. Like, I didn't grow up in this neighbourhood, so I don't feel like it's right for me to just go in and be like, oh, you know, like, this is how you change, mm-hmm. This is how you can change your communities and XYZ. Like, that's not my right. By having these conversations on the street, by speaking to, like, a 6-year-old woman that's mm-hmm. lived in Brixton her whole life, and, like, a 17-year-old boy who gets stopped and searched regularly, and, like, hearing their experiences, we can begin to root out the problem.
Wow, that was so interesting. They're two really, really different projects, but mm-hmm. there's a lot you can take out from both of them.
Exactly.
And how can you find out more?
So you can go to blacklivesmatter.com. You can follow UK Black Lives Matter on Twitter at UKBLM for the UK movement. You can keep up with Boiler Room at Boiler Room TV, and visit Nat's website at kyr.org.uk.
Cool.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Georgia.
No worries, guys.
We'll see you next episode.
See you next episode.
Wow, what an episode. Have you enjoyed our 10th birthday?
Yeah, what an episode. Okay, so who are we going to say thank you to? I want to say thank you to Debbie. So thanks to Deb. You can follow her at ASOS_Debbie. Thanks to all the single people you spoke to at Way Out West.
Yep. Thanks to Dave Franco for playing not really our game, but a game, and for Lottie for standing in.
Thank you to Georgia Murray, who spoke to Natalie Fadugba, who works at ASOS, and to Amanda Maxwell.
And of course, our producer, Warren, who we wouldn't be here without. If you like us, please rate us, and you can subscribe on iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember to tune in next episode for more from these four walls.